Matthew chapter 19. When Jesus had finished these sayings, he left Galilee and went over to the territory of Judea, which was on the other side of the Jordan River. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. But some Pharisees came to him, trying to trap him in his words by asking, "Does our law allow a man to divorce his wife for any reason?" Jesus replied, "Have you not read the scripture which explains that in the beginning God created male and female, and God said, 'For this cause a man will leave father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two of them will become one. So they are no longer two, but one. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder, put apart.'" So Jesus answers the questions these people have by saying, go back to Genesis, that was God's ideal intention. One man and one woman married and joined together by him and leaving their parents. Well, that was the ideal, but of course people fail. And of course the Pharisees asked him, why then did Moses command in the law for a man to divorce his wife and send her away? Jesus replied, "For the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce, but it was not so at the beginning. And so I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife for any reason apart from her unfaithfulness to him commits adultery if he then marries another woman." His disciples said to him, "If this is how it is so between a man and his wife, it's better not to marry." Jesus replied, "The teaching that I've given is not for everyone. It is not given to all men to accept it." So he's introducing the idea of different levels. The ideal is not to separate, not to divorce. And in fact, Paul raises the level even higher when he says that the ideal actually is not to even get married, but to be single unto the Lord. Well, that's what Jesus is saying, that look, there are different levels of living before God. Now, that will be reflected in the kingdom, because one star will differ from another in glory, and one will reign over 10 cities, another over 5 cities, another over 2 cities. So people will make different amounts of God's truth, and you see that in the parable of the sower, that the good ground, which God willing is all of us, some of it brings forth 100-fold, others 60, etc. So there are different ranges of response. But if we truly love God, then we are not going to think, what's the minimum I can do for God? What can I get away with? We are going to try to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. That's what we're going to try to do. It's not a case of a simple yes and no, black and white answer. We want to serve God to the maximum level we can. And so Jesus says that there are different reasons why people don't marry or remarry. Some because they were born as eunuchs, they were born that way. Others because they were made eunuchs of men. Others do so for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let him who can accept it, accept it. And then they brought to Jesus little children for him to put his hands upon them and to bless them. But the disciples told the people to not let this happen. But Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come to me and do not stop them, because of such is the kingdom of God." He put his hands on them, blessing them, and then departed. So Jesus is very cross whenever the disciples try to stop people coming to him. You might remember that Gentile woman who kept following Jesus, begging for him to heal her daughter. They wanted to send her away, but Jesus is presented always as being out of step with the disciples when they want to stop people coming to him. He's very open to all people, but by nature, we have a tendency to want to be exclusive, to say, no, you're not up to the right level. And this exactly was the problem of the people who killed Jesus in the end. A man came to Jesus. "Master," he asked, "what good thing shall I do that I may receive eternal life?" Now, I would have answered that by saying, well, it's not that you do things to get eternal life. Do you think that you just do one good thing and you get eternal life? I think I would have attacked the question a bit. But Jesus replies, as he always does, in an unexpected way. He said, "Why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, and that's God. Keep the commandments if you wish to enter into life." That would be rather hard to be understood by those who believe Jesus is directly the same as God, those who believe in the Trinity. But this man wants to justify himself, and Jesus had said, "Keep the commandments if you want to enter into life." So the man asks, "What commandments?" Jesus replied, "Do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not accuse people falsely, honour your father and your mother, and love your neighbour as yourself." The young man replied, "I have obeyed all these commandments. What else do I need to do?" Well, of course, I would have said, "Are you sure that you have actually obeyed all that? Have you always respected or honoured your father and mother? Have you always loved your neighbour as you love yourself?" Well, the young man says he has. And Jesus doesn't argue with that, although it probably wasn't true. See, Jesus is so lovely in the way he deals with these things. He just says, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give that money to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." So this young man thinks that he's done all these good things, and Jesus says, "Okay, so you say. Well, now, if you think you're so righteous, then sell all that you've got and give it to the poor, and you'll have that money in heaven." In other words, if you give to people, let's say money, it is as if you are putting the money in a bank in heaven, that it's going to go right up to heaven straight away almost. Because God is especially interested in what we give to the poor. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he was very rich and he obviously wanted to keep hold of it. Jesus said to the disciples, "I assure you, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. It is much harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." Now, in those days, the cities had walls around them, and there was a big gate where the camels could go through, and the camels have humps, and their humps were loaded up with all sorts of goods that they were carrying. And so they had to unload if they wanted to just squeeze through the needle gate, which was a little gate that was only really for people. And so what it shows then is that if you're a rich person, you like the big camel, you've got to get rid of all that wealth and you've got to get on your knees. And even then you can only just squeeze yourself through the little gate that was called the needle gate. So everyone wants to be rich. They look at things in catalogues and advertisements, think, "Oh, I really want that. Oh, I really want that. Ooh, I must get the wealth and the money to get that." But if you get all that wealth, it's hard for you to get into the kingdom. So above all things, if we want to be in God's kingdom, then we don't want to be wealthy. So you see, that is where true Christianity, seriously taking Jesus' words seriously, this makes us so different. Well, it's a very big challenge. And the disciples, when they heard this, were amazed. "Who then can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked directly at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter then said, "Look, we have left all to follow you. What shall we have?" Jesus said to them, "You can know certainly that when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory," that's when Jesus comes back, "then you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So those men who sacrificed their fishing business, their wealth as they had it, to follow Jesus, they are going to be directly rewarded for that forever and ever. They're going to be the rulers in God's kingdom. And Jesus goes on, "Everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields for my sake will receive 100 times more and will get eternal life. But many who are first now shall be last, and many who are the last now will be first." So he says many, because I suppose he does accept that there are some who may be rich now, who will also be rich in the kingdom of God, and he accepts that there are some who are poor now, who also will not have a great place in the kingdom. But generally, wealth is a difficulty for entering the kingdom. This is a very, very clear teaching. And we can take it or leave it, but if we are Christians, we have to accept the teachings of Jesus as absolutely fundamental. And this is why true Christianity is not popular. People may be interested on a surface level about the idea of Jesus, but the reality is very demanding, but has great reward.